Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Good morning. Beautiful weather in Johannesburg this morning. I hope it remains, although they may say it'll be rain later because we're having this Shabbat project. And yesterday, last night, was the challah bake.
Yes.
I believe it was absolutely outstanding, but the weather held. So, and also, good morning to you, Dr. Jonathan Mach. And how are you this morning?
Oh, wonderful this morning. It's a blue sky. I think it's going to be a warm day. I think it's going to be over 30 degrees.
Yes.
And, yeah, we're looking forward to the Shabbos project.
Yes. You know, when I spoke to you before, we decided what we're going to talk about, then I sent you an app, and I said I'm going to call it Shabbos Then and Shabbos Now.
Yes.
Now, the reason why I want to mention this is, okay, this project is magnificent, it's wonderful, but Shabbos, for a person who keeps Shabbos, every Shabbos is special.
Yes.
There's nothing special today about Shabbos. Every Shabbos is special. Like, for example, you know, when you have Women's Day, they always, or Mother's Day, they always say it's a special day. But in Judaism, every day is Mother's Day. To me, Shabbos is every Shabbos.
Yes.
There's nothing special tonight about it. It's
for you,
Shabbos.
For you.
For me.
For you, yes. If you keep Shabbos.
That's correct.
For sure, Shabbos project is every Shabbos. And I agree. However, I think it's, me and you are lucky in a way that we keep mitzvahs and we keep Shabbos. And, you know, it's almost, I've got a feeling of tiredness.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Chagim this year were Thursday, Friday, followed by Shabbos.
Correct.
And a chag, like let's say Rosh Hashanah or Sukkot, is very similar to a Shabbos. Except for cooking. That's the main difference.
You're allowed to, yes.
But you still can't drive and put on lights and all the other things. And, you know, so that was 2 weeks ago. You know, we went straight in from Simchas Torah into Shabbos. Yeah. But this is that was 2 weeks ago, into Bereshit. So, for me personally, I think it's wonderful. I think it's a magnificent project for those that have never really known what Shabbos is about. And I think that a cornerstone for me, why I'm attracted to Yiddishkeit, informed from a Torah perspective, is the social side. You know, I've noticed that, Isaac, since I've been in this place for about two months now, that people are very busy during the week.
Right.
They're doing their own thing. They're at school. They're working. They with their family. But as soon as Shabbos comes out, it's like a new world. Shabbos comes in. It's like a new world here. You know, because you can't write, and now it's Shabbos. And a lot of the social activities go around Shabbos. So I think it's a magnificent project for social interaction.
And for people who've never had Shabbos, they've experienced Shabbos.
Absolutely. And you know, when you come from a desert and you can taste a little bit of water, can be wonderful. So I think that objective is being made. And I hear it's going to be in 1,300 cities across the globe.
The world, yes.
Which just shows how we spread and what a wide diaspora we have. Yeah, what? It's interesting what you sent me this SMS Shabbos then
and now.
I would like to say
and the future.
Now. But I know you love memory and you love
right,
the past.
Right,
okay.
Now.
What are your views?
Now I'm going to take the listeners who can remember.
Yeah,
I'm going to go back 50 odd years ago.
Yes,
the late 50s or 60s. We already had a Shabbat project.
Yes. Yes.
In those days, we had what they called the Federation of Synagogues Ladies Guild.
Yes.
And they organized, first of all, a kashrut, the first ever kashrut exhibition, which was held at the Duncan Hall, which was part of the Johannesburg City Hall. City Hall, where it was in Rissik Street corner, off Market and President. There were three halls. There was the City Hall, where they had all the concerts, etc. Mm. Upstairs was the Selborne Hall. Mm-hmm. I'm sure many remember, because a lot of the weddings took place there, bar mitzvahs. And then there was the Duncan Hall, which was a very small hall. And they organized a kosher fair so that everybody could come along and see what products were available, because the following week they were going to have what they, as like we call it, their Shabbos project. They were going to, all the shuls were having dinners and inviting all the members of the shul to a Shabbos dinner at the actual shul.
Mm.
So this is something not new. This goes back 50 odd years ago. And as I said, arranged by the Women's Guild, it was a success. Those people who were keeping Shabbos, quite a few who invited started to be keeping Shabbos.
Mm.
Then, later on, and a few years later, when the late Chief Rabbi Harris came to South Africa, he introduced a project, and I'm sure you may remember this. It was called Shabbat Talk, also a Shabbat project, and he arranged also Shabbat dinners at the various shuls, at various homes, and the rabbis of the shuls changed pulpits.
Mm.
This was in the 1990s. 1999, 1998, and say for example, the Rabbi of Rabbi Goldman would go to Pine Street from Sydenham, mm-hmm. and Rabbi Gerson would go to Sydenham.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people who were convinced who became Shomer Shabbos that well. But also, they issued the Union of Orthodox Synagogues in conjunction with Chief Rabbi Harris and with Rabbi Hendler, who was his assistant, introduced a little booklet called Shabbat Talk.
I remember those.
Fun discussions for the whole family. And this came out every single week.
Yeah.
52 issues that one year.
Yeah.
And I've got in front of me, I especially brought it in, I've got the issue of the 15th to the 16th of October, 1999. I brought in the one for the 7th to the 8th of November. And there was, you know, questions were asked. There was some Dvar Torah at the table. All sorts of things in this little booklet. I've got them all. So that's
not available anymore.
Definitely.
We talked about 10 years ago.
When Rabbi Harris stopped it. But the project was successful. And we've got a text now which reads and agrees with me, there is nothing new under the sun.
Yes.
Now, a few weeks ago, we read Kohelet.
Yes.
And King Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun.
But let's go back even right, perhaps at the beginning, because it's Lech Lecha.
Yes, Lech Lecha.
What time is Shabbos start? I don't think, have you mentioned it?
Shabbos starts tonight at 6:03, and it terminates tomorrow night at 6:54. I'm repeating it, 6:54. Lech Lecha.
So Lech Lecha is go to yourself. And who was that to? Abraham.
Abraham.
Yes, Lech and he Lecha. Was basically the first Jew, let's say. I wonder what his Shabbos project was like, because he had thousands of followers.
He had thousands. And they said he built an eshel, which was like a cavern or a little restaurant. And it had four entrances.
Yes.
The north, south, east, and west. So that all the visitors would come from wherever they were. Mm. That was Avram Avinu.
Yes.
Right. Now, I'm going to put out a question as well, so we can get some response. Why do we have two challahs or two kitkas on the table? Where does that come from? If you do know, text 34519. And if you want to add anything, you can call us on 074-654-7335. We're going to take a break.
But before that, can I maybe ask the listeners, besides the question, is maybe they want to just share what's special they're having in the Shabbos.
Sure, correct.
So we can get some ideas going.
Right. Okay. So we're taking a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
He's called the Walking Human Encyclopedia, but here at Chai FM, you know him as Isaac Resnick. For a nostalgic walk down memory lane, catch Isaac Resnick Friday mornings at 9 a.m. And for the lowdown in the community, be sure to stay tuned for Talk of the Town, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 Chai FM.
Well, we're talking all about Shabbos, and I put out the question, why do we have two challahs, or we call it kitkas? Talk about that just now on the table. Someone sent in and said, Shomer v'zachor, yes, remember. That's quite correct, but that's not the correct answer. We'll come back to that in a few moments. Now, you wanted to mention something.
You told me while off here that you mentioned Barney Hurwitz, who was niffed at the age of 95, and I would like to say something in public that how he influenced me, and I hope this his children and his grandchildren can hear this sometime, that I was visiting the Mill Park and I was doing some stress research, and he picked that up. And he phoned me and he said, come into my office, which was in Brixton. He was running these hospitals, clinic holdings. And he said, I want you to start a stress clinic at the Mill Park. They never had a psychiatrist there before. And he put in a lot of capital, and they converted a section. And for almost 20 years, I ran a clinic for stress-related patients, yes. Illnesses in patients. And he really started me. He gave me this massive kickstart into this really interesting area of mind-body and how stress in your mind affects your body. And I was privileged to work with some of the best doctors that probably have ever been produced in South Africa, Ben Goldberg, Charles Kaplan, and others. And but he, one of the reasons I think he did it was he was a next-door neighbor to my father in Mayfair.
Yes.
And my father, they just scrambled to get the pennies together for my father to go to medical school. But Barney Hurwitz came from a very poor, poor family, and they never had money. So he went to do pharmacy. And because in those days you could do pharmacy but also be paid.
Yes, you did 3 years apprenticeship and yes. 2 years at college.
Yes, yes. And Barney over the years, he used to come to some of my groups just to see what was happening, and he showed some interest. So Barney Hurwitz in my professional development was just the right person at the right time, and he showed tremendous kindness, and there were no real clauses, and he wanted something out of it. He just wanted to help people, and he knew a lot of people were very stressed. He did want me to go into pain clinic, but start a pain clinic. I said, Bonnie, that's beside, that's too much for me. But I was there on stress. So thank you for allowing me the opportunity to express my condolences and wish the family long life.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I went to the dry cleaners this morning just to find out something, and a lady said, that voice is familiar. Are you on radio? I said, yes, Chai FM. She says, well, you know, I'm Barney Hurwitz's granddaughter, and I've heard you speak. I said, yes, I'm going to talk about him again next Tuesday, because I've got a few more anecdotes about late Barney Hurwitz.
Yes.
But we are now talking about the Shabbos project.
The Shabbos past, yours, Isaac. Can you remember? I've got one I want to speak about. But you've had thousands of Shabboses, right? Thousands. Anyone stand out?
It's very difficult. I can tell you.
Overseas in Eretz Israel.
Yeah, overseas, yes. For example.
A surprise. Something that surprised you.
I went to the United States in 1986. And I went for what they call AJOP, the Association of Jewish Professionals from all over the world.
Yes.
And we had it at the hotel in New Jersey, the Parsippany. And we had a Shabbat dinner there, and the leading, you can't believe it, Gedolim from all over the United States and some from America to have Shabbos with them. And previous to that, the week before, I spent Shabbos with friends of mine. They owned a Jewish bookshop. It's still there today, called J. Levine and Company, really the biggest Jewish bookshop in the United States.
Mm.
And the owner then, Seymour Levine, has since passed away, and his son, Danny. And we had the privilege, because he was very friendly, with two of the greatest gadolim. And I had that privilege.
Mm.
One was Reb Moshe Feinstein.
Wow, yes, yes.
And the other one is Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Now, what greater can you get than that? And then the following week, as I said, we had this one at the Parsippany Hotel in New Jersey, and there was Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. Shneur Kotler, the son of Reb Aaron Kotler.
Yeah.
So we had some of the greatest there.
Yeah.
Now, that was in the States, but I've also experienced Shabbos in the United Kingdom, where I was a guest of Chief Rabbi, the Lord Chief Rabbi, Emmanuel Jacobowitz, and his wife Emily as well. And I did spend a Pesach with Chief Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, But it was just before Shabbos. I didn't actually spend the Shabbos with him. But that was also an experience, yes. Because you can also say it's, the only difference is that you can cook on those Yom Tovim.
Yes, right. Yes.
But otherwise, I've spent many Shabbatim and Shabbatim with great leaders in the world. I can mention in Israel as well. So to me, then, Shabbos now, there's no difference.
Yes.
It's exactly the same.
Yes, yes.
Now, we've got a texture. It represents the two loaves of manna that fell on Shabbos while the Jews were in the desert. This is from Stephen. You're 100% correct. Because you remember, the manna used to fall every single day. And on a Friday, it would twice as much will come.
Mm.
So you weren't allowed to then collect or pick up on Shabbos. And that is why we have two challahs on the table on Shabbos.
So it fell on Erev Shabbos.
Erev Shabbos, yes.
So slightly wrong, Stephen, there. He said fell on Shabbos.
No, Erev Shabbos.
Erev Shabbos on the Friday. Before Shabbos.
Yeah, you collect
a double portion.
You collected double. A double portion. And that's why we have the two kitkas. But also, well, they're that Shamor to remember and Zachor, you know, to...
So this maybe for the listeners, it says Shamor v'Zachor. So that's, the Shamor is to protect, the negative, so not to do the negative, and there's 39 things like not knitting and not putting on electricity, how it comes. Zachor is remember, that's the Kiddush.
That's the Kiddush.
You make Kiddush to remember.
Yeah.
So it's a central part of Shabbos.
Yeah.
So anyone of Shabbos project, I'm sure almost everyone's going to have a Kiddush tonight and a Kiddush tomorrow after at the Brocha or after
Davin. Oh, a lot of shuls are having dinners tonight. And of course, if you know when the Seder Dibrot were first handed down in the Pasha Yitro,
yes,
you got Shemor v'Zachor. But when you have it and you reread it in the Pasha V'Etchanan, remember everything, then it's the other way around.
Yes.
It's not the
Zachor
same.
V'shamu.
Yes,
yes,
right.
Yes. So for the listeners, is that Shabbos is not just not doing, but actually doing a lot of things.
I
just want to just talk about it. This is when you get one of the Gedolim who really, really understand in the depths, but they're not forcing it. But you can see there's a completely different energy. And in the room, when they are there,
you felt you're in the presence of a saint.
Yes,
that's a tzaddik.
Yes,
but as I'm talking to you now, I'm getting cold shivers because just to see them, just to be in their presence, is unbelievable.
Yes.
You just can't comprehend.
Yes,
you've got to have been there to see it.
And every word is measured.
And
they sing along. And they
and softly spoken.
Yes.
And they the Derech Eretz. You may not, you know, they gadolim, they great, and yet they respected you as if you're one of them. It's unbelievable.
I might have heard this from you, but it's certainly, I don't know if it's a legend, but very, very quickly, is a bocha, a young yeshiva guy went to a gadol for Shabbos. And at the table on Friday night, he accidentally, the glass fell and shattered. And this gadol immediately knocked his glass.
So that the youngster wouldn't be embarrassed.
Now, he understood that. So you can't break a glass, but he knew that the embarrassment is far worse than the actual, let's say, the misdeed. And I thought that is what you're talking about. That deep understanding and sensitivity, not only just to the halacha, but to the what you call theory of mind, which is understanding the embarrassment, for example, in this person, what they were going through.
Right.
What he was going through. Yeah.
Right. We're taking a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. We're talking all about our Shabbat experiences. And as I mentioned last week as well, the late Chief Rabbi Harris Zatzal used to say, comes to Shabbos, empty your pockets, get rid of everything, empty your mind, just enjoy the Shabbos. Forget about the telephones, the cell phones, the emails, etc. Just let go. Now, I just want to mention something else. Another Shabbos that I spent, I'm sure many of you have, well, if you've been to Israel and you've ever been to a tish of one of these Hasidim, but there is one group in Mayar Shirim.
Could you explain to the listeners what a tish is, just before you go in? A tish is like after the meal.
After the meal.
And they all come together.
They all come together.
And the lachaim, and
everything. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Now, there is a group in Mayar Shirim called Toldos Aharon. When I would say, well, they told me 99% of them are all Kohanim. Toldot Aharon, that's it.
Yeah.
But if you come to that Tish, it's so powerful, it's dynamic, it's electrifying.
Yes, I've been to a couple of them. Yeah.
Oh, and then, of course, the Rebbe sits there and he walks in and then they give him something to eat and he breaks it into pieces and he sends it around to all his disciples and that. And the singing, when that starts to take place.
Yes, it's magnificent.
And magnificent.
The Nigun.
The Nigun. Unbelievable. Yeah.
It's more of a chant than
more of a chant, yes. Yeah. But you get so
and
many.
And they sway and they've got like stands for the Bochrin, the younger, and they sway. I've seen some YouTubes on this. They sway and it's a different world.
It's a different world entirely. And you know, I've got a lot of records, Chazonis, etc. And I've got a lot of these Nigunim. There's the Bubova one, and you've got the Lubavitch Nigunim, and you've got all different ones. Mm. But when they started singing and swaying, and I went there with none other than the late Chief Rabbi Louis Rabinowitz, because he told me about this to go with him.
Yes.
So this is something to experience. They're still in existence today. You've just got to, when you get to Israel next time, just make inquiries. Where's the Toldot Aharon, where the Tish is taking place? It's something to experience. It's beyond description.
Yes.
No words can describe that.
Okay. So I would like to describe probably the Shabbos that had the biggest imprint, which is completely on the opposite world of Jerusalem.
Correct.
Zimbabwe.
Right.
So, you know, my wife Shira, and just before, we're going out kind of, and I thought I was a frum Jew. This is the 1980s, eh? What has been frum? You went to shul every Friday night, and maybe you went on Shabbos morning. That was it. That was Johannesburg. It was
traditional.
So we went up. It was a long weekend in August 1984, and we went up to Bulawayo. And basically, what happened was her father and her mother and Shira's great late grandmother came with us to Victoria Falls. And they put all the kosher food. It was a Mazda 323, small little car. So there I'm driving from Bulawayo to Victoria Falls with the father and these three women in the back. And the Victoria Falls Hotel, we're quite used to kosher people coming along. So anyway, we have the meal and whatever. And comes to benching. Sure, my mother, who's going to put my mother-in-law, said, "Oh, yeah, we forgot the benches. We've got the benches." Hey, so what they do, all four of them, they recite it off by heart. For me, it was like listening to Chinese. And that was the moment that, if I can say, that opened my mind to say, if you want to remain as a traditional Jew, you're going to lose it. You have to now. And at that stage, Osamach was coming through. Osamach had Shabbatons, many Shabbatons, where they went to the Val and Paris, and I joined that. And I would like to say, I don't say I know it off by heart now, but it's not Chinese anymore, and I know it very, very well. So what's remarkable is not just the you know, going through the Shabbos, is does it change you? And I'm hoping that this Shabbos project will change people, that they have to look at this crazy world we live with, the world of distraction. And on Shabbos, it becomes the world of reflection. And that's a world of difference. And I think a lot of illnesses is now being caused because there's no time to stop for reflection. It's just go, 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 go. And that what I like to see is not necessarily come from, but that your perspective of what life's about changes. And there's nothing better than Shabbos to do that.
Right. Now, I just want to mention, you said that the benching. Now, another Shabbos that I experienced, which was completely, completely opposite, but was unbelievable.
Mm.
And that's to spend Shabbos with a Sephardic family, but not the Middle Eastern, those who came from Rhodes, the Spanish origin. And when they do the benching, it's not benching, it is something that's called Bendigamo.
Bendigamo.
It's done in Ladino.
Yes.
And to listen to that is absolutely beautiful.
Now, when you say it's in the Hebrew translated,
it's in Ladino. It's Spanish Hebrew. Ladino is like a Spanish Hebrew.
Yes, but the words are, if you translate them, it's like benching in English.
Why was it so special? Because we do the ordinary benching.
Because of the language or the tunes?
The language and the tunes.
They did it all together.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. This is something to experience.
Yes.
Ladino. Yes. You know, Lahavdil, God forbid, if you go to the cemetery and one of the Sephardi Jews died, I'm talking about from the Rhodes Island, they say a special prayer before in Ladino. And they don't say Haskora, they say Haskaba. I read it, but that's for another time. But as I said, I've had all these experiences of all different communities, and we'll continue in a few moments. We're just going to take an ad break.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
So we're talking all about Shabbos, and I mentioned about the Sephardi, the Bendigabo. Now, I did put out, you were talking all about, we asked the question about the two colors or the kitkas. I'm not going to go into the history of the kitkas. I've spoken about that before. But if any of the listeners want to know how that word kitka came about, you can send me a email at isaac@chai.co.za or text me 34519, and I'll give you the history and the background. It has been authenticated. It's been circulated right throughout the whole Jewish world. It's appeared in every Jewish newspaper, this article that I wrote on how Kitka got its name. Now, while mentioning this, if you went to London and you went into a kosher bakery and you said, "Can I have two kitkas, please?" They look at you as if you're crazy. They've never heard of it. But if you say, "If I have two challahs," then they'll give you the kitkas there. Now, I'll give you one instant quickly. There was a young lady who just got married. She went into Hillbrow. There was a shop there called the Hygienic. I don't know if you may remember it. No. They also baked challahs, kitkas. And she went into the store. And that Friday night, she was going to have her first Shabbos for her friends and her family. She came into the store and she said, "Can I have two challahs, please?" So the gentleman behind the counter said, "We don't sell challahs here." She said, "But I've been told I must come to buy it here." She went out and she started to cry. And one of her friends saw her and came and she said, "What's wrong?" And she told her, she said, "Oh, come with me." She said, "Come into the store." She says, "Can I have two kitkas, please?" Yes. And they gave her two kitkas. Yes. Now, if you went to Cape Town even, they didn't know about kitkas. Cape Town also only knew about challahs because all the British came there. And they
What is the language kitka? Is it Hebrew?
The language kitka is mentioned in the Talmud, but it comes from the Kimberley in 1886.
Kimberley?
Yes. Griqualand West. You had what you call the Khoi tribe.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. Why?
The Bushman. Khozan, yeah.
Because in Kitkai, in their language, means to twist, to plait.
Yes.
Right. When the Jews came up from Kimberley to the gold mines, there were no bakeries. All the women used to do their own baking of challahs, kitkas. But they brought with them their servants who were from the Khois. And the ladies used to say, "Go around to the houses and sell them." And then they said, "Kitkois, kitkois, kitkois." And that's how it got its name, kitka.
Wow.
Right. It got its name. But there is a river in Europe called the Kitka River. But it doesn't come from there, still known as challahs. Because it's plaited. And to them means plait. Now, I'll just give one quick thing. You remember young girls, when their bobbers used to plait their hair? Remember how they used to plait?
Yes.
And that's how they used to plait it. And the Khoi tribe called it kitkoi, to plait. So they used to go around saying kitkois, kitkois, because they knew it was a plaited bread. That's how it got its name. But if you want the details, I'll send it to you. You can text me chai@chaifm, email isaac@chai.co.za. Now, I just got a text. I missed your answer. Sorry. The two colors came from. These represent the two loaves of manna that fell on Erev Shabbos on the Friday while the Jews were in the desert. In other words, they Every day, one manna fell down. Mm. And on a Friday, two lots of mannas fell down to make up for Shabbos, and you weren't allowed. So that's the two loaves of bread, the two kitkas, or two challahs that you have on your plate. But just to remind you that this program is repeated on Sunday morning, just after 9 a.m. Shabbos comes in at 6:03 this evening. Parshas Lech Lecha. And the Shabbos comes out tomorrow at 6:54. We have the Art of the Cantor on Sunday, where I'm going to feature a special CD of Oshi Tuchanov, because he's taking a magnificent tour to Australia next month. But those details you'll hear on Sunday. And, of course, Tuesday we have Talk of the Town between 9 and 10. And Friday morning's Reflections of the Past between 9 and 10. We're taking an ad break. We're back in a few moments.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
And as I mentioned, I mentioned the Tish for you, the Tish of the Toldas Aaron, where 99% of them are all Kohanim, something to experience.
How do they work out the Elias there on a Shabbos morning? But, you know, it's interesting that the two challahs, it's not only on a Friday night that we eat them, but in the meal of on our Shabbos lunch, we also have to have two challahs. And there's many people that keep Suda Shlishi, the third meal.
Yes.
We also have to have two challahs. So it's actually six challahs that we need.
Yes.
So it's good for the trade. So if you're keeping Shabbos, although you can keep... It's not necessary, because if you have two, you can break one and keep the other one for the next. So you actually need three.
Yeah, you need three. And you slap them.
Yeah.
So we talk now. Last week, remember, I brought in those special marks on him to show you. And please God, next week, I will bring you in a Sephardi complete Sidur, those from Rhodes Island, with the Bendigamo and the benching, that's the Bendigamo, and also all some of their prayers in Ladino. This is something, it's too beautiful to see. Mm. By the way, you know, one of the biggest Sephardi communities in the United States, that is the Spanish Sephardi community, is in Seattle. I don't know if you're aware of that. Mm. They're one of the biggest there. Now, we've got a texture. 39 Malachas has... three toldor of each. One may not transgress. Totals like 150 things one may not do. One should become a nervous wreck on Shabbos.
One could become
a nervous wreck. Just saying Shabbat Shalom from Paul Fisher, Bramley, Palmer's. Well, I don't think you'll be a nervous wreck, because those who keep Shabbos, it's the easiest thing in the world.
Yes.
It's a person who's never kept it. How can I do it without answering the phone?
Yes.
Or how can I do it without switching off? Or how can I keep Shabbos without cooking or something? But once you're into the Shabbos and you've already had the experience, you don't even miss it. You don't even know about it.
So, you know, I'm very much into brain health, and for Paul Fisher here, that's habit. You're breaking habits, and you just switch from one habit to another. As long as you're getting the reward. For me, I told you when I was in in Victoria Falls, it took me a long time, but now I go to Gadol. He's doing it at a far, far higher level. But it's not. It's actually, you don't have to be a Talmud Chacham. You don't have to be. You have to be able to read Hebrew. It's not that difficult to keep, but it's very difficult to keep if you're trying to do it yourself.
Right.
But if you're part of a community, you can just get into their slipstream and you follow. And it's not that difficult to learn what you can do, what you can't do. I mean, the difficult ones is like, I mean, this may be fool, he's a plumber, but toilet paper, you know what I mean?
He's got people paid.
But you can, you know, if you stay with people and the rabbi, I mean, yes, it gets the minutia, and leave that to the rabbis. But to me, if you want to, it's so easy to keep Shabbos,
right?
But you have to break the habits.
Right. Now, I did receive a poem from Nettie Sachs about Shabbos, but unfortunately, I'm unable to read it out this morning. But I want to just mention that her sister, Sybil Brower, is celebrating her 89th birthday this coming Sunday. That's the 29th of October at Sandringham Gardens. So we want to wish her a hearty mazel tov, a yom yoledet, many, many years in good health and in happiness. Now, we're talking about Shabbos, but you know today it is so easy for one reason, because you've got all modern technology. You have a time switch. You put it on, the lights will come on automatically. You put a blech on the stove, you switch it on before. Everything is done for you, even the fridges. All you have to do is just turn off the light in the fridge, and then you can use the fridge. I do, before Shabbos, I just switch off the geyser. So that I still got hot water for the whole of Shabbos, because if your geyser's got the fiber around it, then it'll remain hot for 24 hours at least.
Yes.
Yeah. But everything today is so
technical. And if you live in the right area, you can get your challahs, you can get your meat, you can get your
everything
your,
is
if
done.
If you live in the Chamandulas like Kimberley or whatever, it can be much more difficult.
Yes.
You know, do you know the Maccabees?
Yes.
So they had a beautiful, beautiful video they made a few months ago called On the Sounds of Silence.
Silence, yes.
Yes. And they're there. Which is based on Simon Garfunkel.
Yes, I know that.
You know, Hello Doctor's my old friend. Yes. But they ended off with the sounds of Shabbos.
Yes, right.
And when you keep Shabbos, there is a different sound to Shabbos compared to the other six days.
And you're
days.
Supposed to walk differently on Shabbos.
Yes.
You're supposed to speak differently. You don't take big steps when you're going. Yes. And you walk, you go to the shul, you go make it come there as soon as you can. But when you leave shul, you walk away slowly because when Shabbos comes out, say tomorrow night 6:54, you don't rush. You can wait till 6:55, 6:56, and then afterwards we have a Malava Malka. You know, so there is really a wonderful experience at Shabbos.
And then one should on a Friday afternoon not arrive at home 2 minutes before Shabbos. One should come a few hours and just settle into it and
relax,
chill and be with the family and bring flowers and maybe even phone a few friends that you haven't spoken to for a while.
Right.
So no committee, no government, no Nobel Prize winner would have ever put Shabbos at every 7 days for the rest of your life, and it's been going on for 4,000 years. It's a completely different time frame, it's that we do things differently.
More than Shabbos has kept the Jews, Shabbos has kept the Jews.
Amen.
That's how it is. I want to thank Craig for controlling. I want to wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom. Have a wonderful Shabbos. If it's your first time you'd experience it, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Go well. Remember, Shabbos comes 6:03, 6:54 tomorrow night, Motzei Shabbos. Lech Lecha. Enjoy the meals. And by the way, one last thing. Today it's easy for a housewife. Everything is ready made for her. She just has to go into one of the delicatessens, one of the butchers.
You just have to have the money.
But it's all there you can have the most wonderful Shabbos meal. So, and of course, some of the shuls have the best kiddush or brochas.
Oh, that's a whole other story, the brochas. South African phenomenon.
Right.
So I, for my wish for the anywhere in the world is keeping Shabbos, perhaps for the first time, is think about how next week or the week after, how you can keep a little bit more. Might not be at this level, but just try and change. You know what? You'll change your habits and you'll take on one of the greatest gifts we've been given, which is Shabbos.
And one thing, the final thing is, Shabbos brings families together.
Yes.
There's nothing better than spending Shabbos with your family or friends as well.
So just to say this, which is, families that keep Shabbos stay together.
Just stay together and pray together.
And pray together, yeah.
Thank you, Craig. Go well. Have a wonderful Shabbat, wonderful evening, and enjoy the rest of the week.